WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thank you for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Let's turn our focus down to the business of aviation and travel. Brian Summers is with us this morning for a conversation. Brian is the senior aviation business editor at skift.com and is with us via Skype from Los Angeles. Brian, I want to begin this morning with a story that you have at skift.com about something called, I'm going to make sure I say this right, hidden city ticketing. The airlines apparently don't like this. And United is cracking down. What's going on?
Yeah, Steve. Hidden city ticketing is something, it's a ticketing issue that comes up every now and then. It's basically a travel hack. A ticket to a city you do not intend to visit so that you can save money. You know, you might fly from Chicago to San Francisco to Santa Ana, California, because you found a really cheap fare to Orange County, California from Chicago. But guess what, Steve? You actually want to go to San Francisco. So what do? You get off in the middle of the flight, and you just get off and you disappear in San Francisco. And all of a sudden, you've gotten yourself a great deal from Chicago to San Francisco because you really bought a fare that was designed to get you to Santa Ana. A lot of people think that this is perfectly fine, right? They bought the ticket. They can do whatever they want with it. Pretty much every airline in the world calls this fraud. They say you got to fly to the destination that you bought the ticket for. United sent out a memo to airport ticketing agents last week just reminding them to be on the lookout for this. It's not so unusual. I did get the memo. Somebody sent it to me. And I think what's most interesting to me is the language that they're recommending airports use to confront passengers that they're accusing of fraud, right? Because people may remember this big Dr. Dow incident of a couple years ago where United called security forcibly removed the person from the airplane. It was a very big deal. So United wants people to, they want their ticketing agents to very carefully ask folks why they're engaging in fraud and basically saying, you know, did you decide to get off early because you had a medical emergency, because something changed with your travel plans? We just want to make sure what's going on here before we really accuse you of anything big. But United does say, look, if we catch people doing this, we're going to refer them to our corporate security department. And corporate security at airlines, they're pretty tough. They may ask you to pay money to them, what the ticket would have cost. They can suspend your Mileage Plus account. That's the loyalty program. And they can even refer your matter to a collection agency if they want. So this is a big deal for airlines.
How widespread do you think this is in reality?
Very hard to tell. Airlines don't talk about it a whole lot. Historically, people like me who are sophisticated travelers who knew what was going on would kind of do it on the sly. We'd notice a good deal. We'd do it. We wouldn't tell anybody. Steve, as you probably know, the internet changes this, right? Because everybody knows all these travel hacks. So that there is a website out there called SkipLagged. And SkipLagged helps people buy these plane tickets that they never would have found on their own. So the practice is probably increasing now.
Brian, there's another story. This goes back to the 737 MAX grounding. Airliners paying pilots not to fly. What's going on?
Well, Steve, this is only one airline, and it's a unique circumstance. But the airline that you're speaking of is Air Canada. They're paying about 400 737 MAX pilots not to fly. And there's a pretty simple reason for it, right? At American, United, Southwest, they all fly the 737 MAX, but then they also fly hundreds of those older versions of the 737. So with the MAX not flying, the U.S. pilots can just go back to the old planes that they were flying. They don't need to be retrained. It's no big deal. And in Air Canada's case, Air Canada doesn't have any of those older 737s. They only have the MAX. So they hired all these pilots to fly the MAX. They trained them to fly the MAX. And now there is literally nothing for them to fly. So they're being paid not to fly. The pilots don't like it very much because my understanding is they're still being paid less than they would have been actually flying. And certainly the airline doesn't like it either. But they really have no choice. And it's very expensive and difficult to retrain a pilot. So Air Canada doesn't want to be in a position where they have these 737s 737 MAX pilots, and then they go train them to fly another airplane, say the Airbus A320, but then Boeing gets the airplane recertified, and they have to go back to the Boeing. It's really tough to do. So Air Canada is basically saying, pilots, sit tight, and let's wait this one out.
Yeah, so this is going to be another cost for Boeing, too. If Boeing's going to start repaying some of these airlines for all the costs that they've lost, this is another cost.
Absolutely. You know, Boeing has set aside several billion dollars to pay airlines for all the expenses they're incurring. I think we've known for a while this is going to cost Boeing an absolute fortune. And I know that there's a lot of airlines out there that can't wait to get the money that they're owed. But my understanding is it's just going to take a while for that to happen.
Brian, what's going on with Alaska Airlines? I know that they've been trying to step up some competition. There's been some stepped up competition involving Alaska. But tell us about it.
Yeah, Alaska Airlines is now the fifth largest airline in the United States, which is pretty big for an airline that people think of only as a Pacific Northwest and state of Alaska airline. And, you know, they have a lot of competitive routes. They're doing their best. They bought Virgin America. They're big where I live in California and in Seattle and in Oregon. But they're also, believe it or not, they are still big in Alaska, right? So people, especially in Chicago, when you see an Alaska plane, you're probably like, this is a ridiculous name for an airline that flies to Chicago. But they fly to a lot of small communities in Alaska. They fly from Chicago to Anchorage. And what they said last week on their earnings call is it's very interesting. A lot of the other airlines have rediscovered Alaska as a great summer tourist destination. So you have American Airlines flying a Boeing 787 from Dallas-Fort Worth to Anchorage. You have other airlines expanding to Anchorage. It's almost like the new Iceland. You remember that Iceland was very popular. It still is popular, but it was super popular for a couple of years there. Airlines couldn't wait to add capacity. And this is happening a little bit in Alaska right now. And, you know, the Alaska market is so important to Alaska Airlines that it sounds like they might try to defend their turf a little bit more. And, you know, maybe, Steve, that means that next summer there's going to be unbeatable deals between the continental United States and Alaska. That's often what happens, right? If an airline wants to defend its turf, it's going to add capacity. That leads to lower fares and consumers win. So we'll have to watch that carefully next year.
So what? Give us a sense of how Alaska is doing generally, and will the other airlines, do you think, compete in return?
Yeah, you know, Alaska generally is a pretty profitable airline. We don't hear about it as much as, say, Southwest Airlines, but Alaska is very consistently profitable. It's a well-run airline. It's actually a low-cost carrier, even though people don't think of it that way. They have a great brand and marketing strategy on the West Coast. It's been a little bit tough for them to absorb Virgin America because, like I said, they bought Virgin America a few years ago. And these were airlines with different cultures and ethos and airplane types. And, you know, people pay a lot of attention, right, to the United and Continental merger and the other mergers. Alaska is going through this as well. It is really hard to meld two airlines into one. So that's something Alaska is going to be dealing with for a while.
All right, Brian, good conversation. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Brian Summers is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com. Follow him on Twitter at Brian Summers and Skift as well at Skift. Make sure you sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report delivered to your inbox each week at Skift.com/airline.